Jeff Keel coming up in just a minute or two. Justin will be up as far as the NCAAs. We also got a nursing home report coming up in this hour. We are flying through this show. I tell you, there's a lot we have focused on. I do want to focus on, there are 8 Long Island municipalities, folks, among the top communities in which to live in the nation. This is a recent survey. It was conducted by Niche this fall. Great Neck Gardens came in at number 10. Great Neck Plaza, close behind number 13, by the way. Next up, 22, Herricks. Herricks, okay. Number 25, Syosset. And number 27, Kensington. All right, these are 8 among the top communities to live in the nation. This is a survey that was put up. And then rounding up place on the island, Lake Success. That came in at number 55, Lake Success. Plainview was 71. And number 82, East Williston. So these are all top communities in which to live in the nation. How about that? Long Island accounting for 8 of them altogether. Nothing out in Suffolk County. Nothing out in Suffolk County. Okay. 8:15, Jeff Keel, Millennial Strategies. And we appreciate we supposed to have him on yesterday. And listen, kids get sick all the time. And that's what you see. When you're a young dad, this is what you have to combat, my friend. And that's what it's all about.
Never been sure that it is now, Jay. Good to be with you.
It is good to be with you. Hope everything is okay at home.
Oh, yeah.
Getting better there. Excellent stuff. The brag stuff with Trump seems to be losing a lot of steam, Jeff. A lot of steam. And, you know, at this point in time, it looks like they don't have a lot of substance as far as their next move. It seems that way.
Well, I think that this, and again, always a pleasure to be on. Good to be back. And I think as it pertains specifically to the Bragg Trump stuff that's out there right now, it's clear this is part of a larger tapestry of different levels of government having different, you know, different legal squabbles with the former president. And the consensus, I think, at least among my sources, is that the reason why the grand jury has not yet indicted Trump specific to the Manhattan DA / Stormy Daniels hush money case is likely because there are other charges on the federal level, probably related to the Mar-a-Lago documents that are forthcoming. This entire thing has to be coordinated between the NYPD, between Secret Service, between, you know, the federal bench and a lot of other layers of government here. Indicting a former president is not easy. And that's probably why this has been delayed somewhat. I do agree with your position, Jay, that when taken in a vacuum, if this was the only charge out there, if this was the only thing that folks were trying to hang their hat on, it would seem like it was losing steam and pretty weak. But there's a lot else out there related to other, like, much more serious federal crimes that is seemingly, I will stress this term, seemingly imminent.
Listen, you can kind of correlate this in the sports world to a game between the Savannah Bananas and the New York Yankees. I mean, it's just not a fair situation at present for this district attorney right now. I mean, he's up against it as far as the statute of limitations, for one. Okay, it expired as a chargeable misdemeanor after 2 years. That was 5 years ago. And second of all, it was a mere misdemeanor that could be brushed off by Trump, even if they had succeeded. So he's really up against it. I do agree this was a campaign promise from way back in time when he took the job. This is the very powerful propeller of what was driven with Alvin Bragg when he took the job, and that was to try and lock him up. That's what it was, to try and get the photo op of handcuffs on the former president. But at this point in time, he's got a massive egg on his face here, Jeff.
I think that remains to be seen because the grand jury has yet to be impaneled and the charges have yet to be brought. So I think that the story of this moment in time has really yet to be told, and it's very clear that this is inherently driven by forces that go beyond the Manhattan DA's office. There are other factors at play here, and so I think to characterize this as something that is embarrassing for the Manhattan DA or something along those lines, we just don't know yet. When it comes to matters of disproportion, when it comes to matters of criminal justice, national security, things like that, I think folks need to understand that, there are mitigating factors that we don't know and we'll never know, because that's just the way the justice system works. And, a lot of this is going to come out eventually, but, folks have to be patient here. And I think that this is probably, to use your analogy, this is like the Savannah Bananas of all of the charges. This is the smallest, least consequential of all the looming indictments against the former president of the United States. Like the big league stuff, right? Like the New York Yankees level stuff is looming on the federal level and is imminent, and it's probably why the Manhattan DA has stood down.
No question, Jeff Geo, Millennial Strategies, ladies and gentlemen. And yeah, there is other stuff looming as far as Trump is concerned. And, he vowed that nothing will deter him as far as the 2024 election. Jeff, do you agree with the possibility that whatever comes his way, he's still going to be in this thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, being a presidential candidate is like among the best pieces of collateral he has to avoid jail time. So, yeah. I mean, if I'm Trump, I'm running too. For a myriad of reasons, being a candidate for president of the United States provides a really terrific legal shield from a whole bunch of stuff. Of course he's going to run no matter what. And also there is the perception, I think, among Trump's most ardent followers that if he ends up getting perp walked in Manhattan and ends up getting booked like a common felon and ends up going through the criminal justice process, that he in some way will become a martyr and it will some way enrage the base and help him in this campaign. I see no empirical data to suggest that that's accurate, but yet that seems to be the rallying cry now.
Yeah, I mean, and I stated this the last day or two, it could have a boomerang effect as far as everything is concerned. This will only ignite things. As far as the Trump base, for those who think it might have been waning, but in essence, and I'm not talking about protests or anything else, but you could certainly have a little bit of backlash in that regard as far as a catapult. Not that Trump needs anything, but you make the point about being president of the United States as the current president could be going through right now within his own matters of family mayhem, so to speak, no?
If we're doing Hunter Biden's laptop, I am just going to scream. But I will say too that I don't quite understand what base we're really talking about here as it pertains to Trump and as it pertains to a cohort of people that will become enraged if the president is indicted and booked and perp walked and things like that. We have seen, over the last 3 years, going on 4 years now, that, like, the categoric rejection of Trump and Trumpism. You know, the 2020 election was not close. Trump-ish candidates were resoundingly defeated in 2022. And there's no data to suggest that Trump would have a puncher's chance in the 2024 presidential election. So I don't know what base we're talking about here. There's a cohort of folks that will stay with him no matter what. But that cohort of folks does not in any way constitute an electoral college majority, a popular vote majority, or something that will not lead to the Republicans losing both houses of Congress in 2024.
And listen, I don't want to get into the Hunter Biden stuff. That's another half hour for another day on this program. But, you know, listen, I think the public right now is fed up. And I think a lot of people need to smarten up and demand full accountability, not only about Hunter, but about these backroom deals that are so obvious as far as what went on here. And hopefully the truth will come out in the end. I'll tell you that much. The truth will come out.
What backroom deals are we talking about here, Jack?
We know. I don't want to get into it. Backroom deal. We know the backroom deal.
Backroom deal. Oh, yes. Yeah, no, it's easy to use terms like backroom deals to criticize what has been one of the most transparent administrations in modern memory.
My goodness. Jeff Gill, Millennial Strategist.
Almost zero candidate turnover and, you know, no indictments.
We shall see. Let's get into the DeSantis stuff for a second. Remaining moments. Did an interview with Piers Morgan. And listen, it is so clear the guy is running right now. He's all over the country, the book and everything else in Iowa, setting the stage. Giving you a couple of things as far as what Trump is going through right now, how the DA is going about his business. Listen, he's getting involved with Ukraine as far as some situations. Kind of, you know, it's kind of taken back a little bit of what he said originally regarding, you know, doesn't think that the U.S. should have such a major role in Ukraine. Couldn't be more wrong in that regard. But in essence, DeSantis has made it pretty clear right now where he is.
He sure is. And at the same time, his plug numbers have gotten worse and worse. DeSantis has been trying to frame himself as a foil against Trump, but he also runs up against the fact that, one, Trump is his constituent, and two, you know, this battle against woke policy, such as it is unpopular even among Floridians. I mean, it is one thing to have, to toe party line as it comes to social issues, as many Republican governors around the country do. What DeSantis has done is taken it to a level that goes beyond the pale, even with moderate Republicans. The idea of banning, you know, AP African American Studies, making college employees disclose their political beliefs, all this war with Disney, this don't say gay stuff, it goes too far. And quite frankly, it makes him unelectable within his own party. And I think is if he were to somehow magically win a Republican primary, set the stage for a resounding defeat in 2024.
So I kind of agree with that. He's very hardcore. That could bite him in the end. You see, the way I see it, he's caught between a rock and a hard place. He can beat Biden without question. The question is, can he beat Trump? I don't think he can beat Trump. I really don't. So, in order to get to Biden, you got to beat Trump. I don't know if he can.
Yeah, the thing, too, is that when it comes to Trump, they're fighting for the same base on the activist right, and it leaves the moderates nowhere to go. The moderates have been with Trump before, so they'll stick with Trump or they'll go somewhere else. DeSantis has acquitted himself on social issues to be so far to the right that it becomes deeply problematic for him. And if there were to be a Republican primary, he wouldn't even win his own state. And That's an awfully tough way. I mean, when you are, like, the Match says that when you aren't popular in your own state, it is very, very difficult to win a presidential primary. And that's where we are right now. And at the end of the day, America is destined to get what it deserves, which is going to be Biden-Trump part two.
Yeah. And that's the thing right now. Biden-Trump part two. The question is, can Donald Trump make up those 6 million votes? I have my doubts. Honestly, I have my doubts if that happens. Always a pleasure. And we'll talk more. Lots of stuff on the plate, my friend. Hope everything continues in a good way at home.
You got it, my man.